It is a rare thing for a person to rise to the top of their profession, even to heights never before seen, and then get better at what they do. What if Albert Einstein had said, yeah, the theory of relativity is pretty good, but I think I can do better. Or if John Steinbeck had said, you know, I'm glad you liked The Grapes of Wrath, but I think I have another gear. Or if that one caveman had said, well, yes, the wheel is one heck of an accomplishment, but I think it's important to keep pushing myself. It just doesn't happen. Unless you were in a band called the Beatles. At the beginning of 1965, the Beatles weren't just the biggest band in the world, they were probably the most famous people in the world. In just 2 years, they had released 4 albums, had 6 number 1 songs, 6 in 2 years. On April 4th, 1964, Can't Buy Me Love was the number 1 song on the Billboard charts. The 2 through 5 slots were, in order, Twist and Shout, She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and Please Please Me. They held the top 5 spots on the chart, a feat never achieved before or since. Elvis had been the king of rock and roll. The Beatles made Elvis's position look kind of cute. And there they were, the lovable mop tops, the Fab Four, on top of the world. They were clearly the best in the world at what they did, and if they had quit right then and there, we would still remember them for that gigantic 2-year burst. They would still be in the Hall of Fame. They would still be an historic band. But what did they do? Well, Paul McCartney wrote yesterday. John Lennon said, I wonder what would happen if I played this recording backwards. George Harrison started to finish the songs he was writing. Ringo's jokes got funnier. They pushed themselves. They let their creative muses take over. They took chances. They took drugs. A lot of drugs. They shook off the matching suits, let a little bit more individuality into what they were doing, and they began to stretch their wings. Also in 1965, they stopped touring, which took an enormous amount of pressure off of them and allowed them to get even more creative. It allowed them to become professional songwriters. The years 1965 and 1966 revealed the Beatles to be so much more than a smash hit pop band. They were already great. This was when they became, I don't know, just insert your favorite effusive word here. It's a fascinating period. So tonight, we're going to listen to the music of that era, which really only encompasses 2 full albums, half of a third, and 2 double-sided singles. But this is the music that happens when you are taking a quantum leap between A Hard Day's Night and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And holy moly, that's some good music. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is The Weekly List. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Weekly List. First of all, editor's note, Beatles stopped touring in 1966, not 1965.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I know. I screwed it up.
Okay.
All right,
well,
I'll own that.
You know what? And last week, you said that you were wrong because I said something correct about Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
It's like you're, a 2-for.
You're 2 for 2 now.
I'm like 2 for 2. My day is made, you know? I'm going to take next week off.
You know, we both are, actually, but that's a whole different conversation.
We'll explain that later.
You know why my day was made? My whole week was made.
Okay.
Because I got to listen to some of my favorite Beatles albums this week, man.
Me too. I think that I played today's set list, I don't know, 5, 6 times today.
Yeah.
It was so fantastic. And we're talking now about the point where the Beatles really became, in my mind, the Beatles.
Yeah, well, it's where they started to really step up. We're going to talk about a very specific moment in a second. But this is it's that transitional period.
It's evolution, man.
Yeah, and you know, you've got the first four. To me, there are 4 like distinct eras of the Beatles. There's the early period, which is the first 4 albums.
Right.
There's the middle transitional period, which is what we're talking about tonight. There's the psychedelic era, and then there's the end of days era.
Yeah,
right.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we have done an early Beatles show.
Mm-hmm.
I have done a post Beatles show.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of John Lennon shows. We should also mention today, as we're sitting here, we are recording this December 8th. You are probably hearing this December 9th.
Yeah.
The Weekly List will always commemorate the anniversary of John Lennon's passing by doing some sort of show in his honor, be it a Beatles thing or a John Lennon something. We will always take this week. It's funny, too. For me, the Beatles are Christmas music. I've tried to explain this to people before.
Okay,
I
mean, we're not talking about that Paul McCartney song.
Oh, God, no. Have you seen some of the memes that,
from the
Get Back thing? Oh, God, it's so funny. Like, why did the Beatles really break up? And it's Paul McCartney sitting at a piano going, okay, can we start working out that wonderful Christmas time song that I've got?
Yeah, that's so funny.
It's one of the worst songs of all time.
Well,
it's terrible.
Think about the intro that we just did tonight.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we of course we started out with Day Tripper, which is not on a Beatles album.
No, it's a single.
It was one of those double A's that you were talking about earlier. And
what was the other side of Day Tripper?
I knew that you were going to ask me that.
Because Paperback Writer and Rain were one of them.
Yeah.
What was the other side of Day Tripper?
Oh, okay. Well,
you keep talking.
Oh, great. So that you leave me hanging. Day Tripper is one of those songs, though, that's that riff. I'm a guitar player. And so I'm a big fan of riffs, and there are a few riffs that you just can't deny. One is Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. The other one is the Day Tripper riff. I remember I played in a band called China Blue back way in the day, and we used to play Day Tripper, and I wanted to play that song with that band just because I got to play the riff, you know, and that's such a joyous riff. It's got so many clever moments in it. And George is just in his prime with that. So, okay, so Rich, now that you've looked it up, what was the flip side to Day Tripper?
We Can Work It Out.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
What a great.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
We Can Work It Out. There's great stuff about We Can Work It Out that we're not going to really get into tonight, but go listen to We Can Work It Out after the show, folks. whenever McCartney wants to show the contrast between his writing style and Lennon's McCartney will talk about We Can Work It Out. He's like, I had this song, you know, trying to see it my way. We can make this work.
We can do
this. We can work it out. And here comes John with Life Is Very Short and There's No Tie. Or Getting Better and Getting Better. It's getting better all the time.
Couldn't
can't
get, much,
get
worse.
Much worse. You know, that's the contrast right there. Anyway. So, yeah, that was Day Tripper. And that song was about fake hippies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about people who are, like, pretending to be all, like, lovey flower power and aren't walking the walk.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway.
Love that song, though.
Me too.
I mean, that was one of my picks because I, you know, come on.
Yeah.
As a guitar player, how could you, seriously, if you're a guitar player, if you don't know how to play that riff, do yourself a favor in this next week. Pick up a YouTube video, learn how to play the riff. I mean, that should be in your arsenal.
That was one of the, you know, we talk about quantum leaps, right?
Right.
In the show. That riff was a quantum leap in George Harrison's career.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the, there are other riffs in earlier Beatles songs. I mean, there's a riff for She Loves You and
yeah, but not like that.
But yeah, not like Day Tripper. Tripper is legit.
It doesn't follow into like a typical chord pattern.
Right.
I mean, there's some modes that are reinvestigated in that, and it's kind of this aberrant kind of weird riff. It, like I said about like Black Dog by Led Zeppelin, something weird, a little different.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Beatle?
Damn, you had to ask me that right out the beginning. Well, to be honest with you, what shirt am I wearing?
Paul McCartney.
I'm wearing a Paul McCartney shirt, and this is the first time I've worn this.
Yeah,
ever.
It is.
This is the shirt from his concert at Target Field in 2014.
Yep.
Of course, I love all the Beatles. They all have interesting personalities that they bring to it. McCartney, for me, I guess I'd have to say is my favorite just because he had such a gift for melody. And the guy is weird. I mean, he's really, really weird. He was the guy.
He can be really strange.
Yeah, he's really strange. And I think that most people don't think of him as strange.
No, he's the cute one.
Yeah, he's the cute one, but he was the weirdest one in my mind. Not Lennon. It was McCartney. It was Lennon who went and saw Yoko Ono's display first and suggested that John go.
You mean it was McCartney that went?
McCartney, yeah. Yeah, McCartney was the one who suggested to Lennon that he go. At the same time, McCartney, as recently as a couple of years ago, is still recording avant-garde recordings under the name The Fireman.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows about this.
I know about this.
Right, you do, but most people don't. They don't understand that Paul McCartney is still recording all these weird avant-garde stuff, and he's been doing this for decades now. Decades.
Yep.
So I guess I got to go with McCartney, and I know that your favorite is...
George.
Yep, absolutely.
George Harrison.
George Harrison. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm partial to Day Tripper for that that simple
no
reason.
Doubt.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, another quantum leap. We're gonna just get right off the bat. You go from A Hard Day's Night, which is a great album. It's a fun album. There's fun stuff on there. I mean, there's If I Fell is on there.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie A Hard Day's Night?
Oh, many times, yeah.
I had never seen it until He's very clean. I had never seen it until a couple of years ago. My wife and I were at Imminent Brewing, and a friend of mine came up and said, "Hey, are you going over to the art center over at the college?" And I'm like, well, why would I be doing that? He said, they're about to screen A Hard Day's Night.
Ugh.
And I said, I've never seen A Hard Day's Night. And I looked at my
wife.
I looked at my wife, who is not really a great Beatles fan.
Okay.
Right? And she's like, yeah, let's go. It was a gift. It must have been close to my birthday for her to say that. But we went, and I just loved it. I loved it.
I have
it
fits was so over much that movie. Fun. I laughed so hard.
I've still never seen Help.
You have not seen Help? Are you serious?
I've never seen Help.
Are you serious? You know, my daughter Eileen, she and I were talking about that movie today, and we were screaming about how funny it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rich.
You're going to... Wait. Stop.
What?
You're really going to get down on me because...
I'm a little bit.
Dude,
I mean, it's hilarious.
Dude,
they all live together in the same place,
yeah,
and there's the whole thing with the ring, and Ringo has got... Oh, my God.
Dude,
I'm going to leave it alone.
I know my Beatles. Just
I know that you know your Beatles, but you haven't freaking seen Help. God, jeez.
I don't even want to know you.
Oh,
all right.
My,
so,
oh, you don't want to know me. Oh, my God.
No.
Here we go.
Okay,
this is the division.
So, but,
I own a copy of it on Laserdisc. Come on over.
You still own Laserdisc.
I know. That's your slam on me.
Okay. Anyway, but you go from A Hard Day's Night, right? Now, Help is a weird album. I mentioned earlier, like the transition starts half of the songs on Help are transitional songs. Half of the songs are old school Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm.
Dizzy Miss Lizzie,
yeah,
is an old school Beatles song. To a large extent, Ticket to Ride, one of my favorite Beatles songs, is old school Beatles.
Yeah,
all right. But then you get songs like. I've Just Seen a Face,
yeah,
right, which is out of left field for these guys, right? Or you have a quantum leap in songwriting with Yesterday.
Yeah.
So, do you know the story behind Yesterday?
Yeah, this was like the scrambled eggs
thing. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He had a dream one night, dreamt the entire song, and woke up. And was at his girlfriend's house, and there was a piano there. So literally got out of bed, ran to the piano, and figured the song out, right? And then thought, well, this is so good, this can't be. I have to have heard this somewhere, right?
Yeah,
so,
something like scrambled eggs.
Yeah,
scrambled
eggs. Yeah. So he would play it for anyone who would listen for like a month, like. What is the song? Where have you heard this? And they're like, I don't know. And he said, finally, it was a little bit like turning something into the police after
right.
like a month of
right.
no one claims it, it's yours. And that's what it was. So that was Yesterday. It was just given to him. His subconscious just took it.
You know,
and it's amazing.
It is.
It's for him to go from what's the best song? What's his best song on Hard Day's Night, probably. It's not If I Fell. It's
I'm gonna let you hang.
The other one, come on.
The other one.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, McCartney has got a lot of great songs. This song is one of the ones that is... I was talking with Eileen about this period today, and she was telling me that Yesterday is one of the most covered songs of all time, and that's true. I remember years and years, decades ago, where there have been 500 covers of it, everybody from Frank Sinatra to whoever. The Help album in my family and among my daughter and I, this is Eileen's favorite album of all time. And for me, as
it's a
parent...
Great, it might be my favorite, one of my... Well, I don't know. I don't know. They're all my favorite Beatles
songs. Oh, yeah. But for me, I realized that I had been a success as a parent, at least with my child. And this was years ago. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, my daughter and I are very similar. We do not keep normal hours. We are not normal people. We do not hear music normally. But I remember waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning... And she's in the shower, okay?
Yeah.
In the shower, and she's screaming the lyrics for I think it was "I Need You" off of Help at the top of her lungs.
That's great.
And then she goes, she starts, and she had it in her own congealed playlist own order.
Yeah.
And then it goes into "Dizzy Miss Lizzie," and she's screaming at the top of her lungs at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'm sitting in there in bed, and the dog Brubeck is with me, who's named after Dave Brubeck, of course.
Yeah.
He wakes up too, and he's looking at me like, "What in the hell is going on?" And I'm like, "Dude, this is our world."
Right. And I love her.
And I love her. Yes. Yeah, that's a great song.
Nah, nah, nah. Anyway, this is from the soundtrack to the film Help from 1965. This is Paul McCartney and the Beatles with Yesterday on 95.1 KYMN.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I love. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
from 1966 and the Revolver album. That was And Your Bird Can Sing. You can talk all you want about And Your Bird Can Sing. I've got some things to say about Revolver.
Okay, I love that song. And originally, I was wanting to play the outtake from the Anthology 2 version, which has Paul and John in the studio just cracking up. And it gives a real sense of fun. So I suggest to anybody out there, go and listen to that version. But really, I did not want... This is such a great pop, fun song. It's not wildly popular. I didn't want anybody listening to this album or to this show tonight to have that be the first time they hear this song is with a bunch of screwing around and laughing. I wanted you to hear it as it was originally intended. So there you go.
Yeah.
And I know that you don't care for that song.
It's fine. It's just you're talking about one of the greatest albums
ever. Yeah.
And it's a low point on that album. It's still a fine
song. You don't think Dr. Robert's the low point?
Well, I think there's a couple of low points on that album. You somehow, like in what might be my favorite Beatles era, you've somehow found my three least favorite songs from the era.
Are you serious?
Except for Dr. Robert. That would be number four.
Well,
we're not playing Dr. Robert.
No,
but
not
you
at
like
all.
You like just knocked him down too. Like you
are you serious?
I even said,
Rich, you need to listen a little bit more than you know it goes beyond just hits. Oh, now I've pissed you off. Okay, kids, this is where I'm getting the dead eye stare. I'm getting the dead eye stare.
Okay. I don't even.
I know you don't know me. We're not going to recover from this. Is this worse than me saying Iron Maiden is the greatest band ever? Is this worse than the Potsmokers?
You are making me question this entire partnership at this point. You know.
That's my job, dude.
You can take shots at me, but do not go there, young man.
I know.
Just more than the hits.
This is what I do.
Oh,
this is what I do. Yeah, this is the role that I play.
Yeah,
Rich, you know, I like.
Yeah, you're like my brother. You just like to push my buttons,
I
really, really, really tired of it.
I know you do.
I know you know, and you do it anyway.
I know. I can't.
Revolver, 1966.
Okay, yes. Let's talk about great record.
Let me talk about Revolver for a while.
Yes, sir. Wow. Crap.
You've had your say.
I'll sit in the corner now.
Despite the presence of And Your Bird Can Sing, despite the presence of Dr. Robert, despite the presence of a couple other songs, there was a point in time where this was absolutely my favorite Beatles album.
Really?
To this day, it's top three for me. These days I kind of vacillate between Abbey Road and the White Album.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
But I just love this album. And from Taxman to Tomorrow Never Knows.
Yeah.
And most of the songs in between. It's just, you know, and there's a lot from Revolver on this show tonight, so we're going to get into it later, but I saw 10 years ago maybe I saw someone like major publication in England had declared Revolver to be the best album of all time.
You know, a lot of publications do.
And it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
But I like that this album gets that kind of respect. And this is, Revolver is the springboard to, or at least it's the approach. The springboard to Sgt. Pepper really is Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields. But they're on the diving board, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With Revolver.
Well, you know, the thing about Revolver, for me, for many, many years, I always thought that Rubber Soul was my favorite album from the mid-period.
I have a lot to say about Rubber Soul,
I know.
Too.
I know that you do. And so this past week, I sat and listened to all of Revolver from front to back, and then I followed it by listening to Rubber Soul instead of going the other way.
Yep.
And I will tell you, I learned something about that by going Revolver first and then Rubber Soul instead of the other way around. And it made me appreciate Revolver a lot more and Rubber Soul a lot less. And when I started looking at the songs that I picked a lot more songs off of Revolver than I did Rubber Soul, by far.
Oh, good for you. Anyway, speaking of Rubber Soul.
You're so edgy.
Speaking of Rubber Soul, this is a song that you picked from,
it is.
Rubber Soul. What do you got to say about this?
Okay.
You have like 30 seconds to
talk
about
this. Okay,
the
thing that I like about this song is originally, in my mind, for me, this sounds like a lot of a Billy Joel influence. You know, Billy Joel was influenced a lot by this song, from the melody and the harmonics. The thing that I like about this song... Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of Billy Joel in this song.
I can hear Paul McCartney's influence on Billy Joel, but I don't hear it in this song.
Oh, I hear it all over. I mean...
Well, you're just wrong. Okay.
Okay. But I will say this. The thing that I like about this lyrically, and now this is my interpretation of my own, I see this as somebody... This is sung from the vantage point of somebody who's been dumped by a woman and has killed themselves and now is a spirit. I'm looking through you. They're a ghost. Looking down on her, and when you start looking at it from that perspective, it gives a certain amount of darkness, which I like. I don't know that it's necessarily intended, but that's my interpretation and mine alone. You can agree, you can disagree. That's the great thing about the Beatles, is you can take for it however you want, and it becomes your reality.
All right,
the harmony is my turn. My song, the harmonies that John Lennon has on this in some of the descending lines are unique because they don't follow straight harmony rules. There you go.
I love the fact. In fact, if you want to get into the harmonies, I think that this period is where, like, people talk about Beatlesque harmonies,
mm-hmm.
right? I think, like, throughout these two albums and a little bit of Help too, like, the best example of Beatlesque harmonies is in this period right
here. Oh, absolutely. You know? No doubt.
Anyway, from the horribly overrated 1965 album Rubber Soul, we'll talk about that later. This is I'm Looking Through You, Danny's Ghost Story song on 95.1 KYMN.
From all the lonely people.
do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care for all the lonely people? Where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong?
From Revolver, Eleanor Rigby. Danny, your song.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason that I picked this one is, honestly, it's my daughter Eileen's all-time favorite Beatles song.
That's great.
Just an absolute perfection of a piece of material. This is where, I mean, for me, what typifies the Beatles moving into just merely being a teeny bop band from their phase one period to the middle is the songwriting. And Bob Dylan met the Beatles around the time of Help, and he was the guy that introduced them to marijuana and all that kind of stuff. And John Lennon in particular was totally, you know, absorbed by Dylan. And that's where the song Nowhere Man came from. That was one of John Lennon's influence songs from Bob Dylan. And at the same time, I listened to McCartney's lyrical sense in that, you know, Eleanor Rigby, you know, the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. That's such a unique way to describe makeup. There's so many metaphors going in there, and it's really a profound advancement in his songwriting voice. So Eleanor Rigby is a classic in my mind, and my daughter's favorite song, so I have to throw something out to her on that. And she's, in my mind, I think that that's a great composition from a songwriting point of view.
I think it's an amazing song. The lyrics are
thoroughly depressing.
The lyrics are brilliant, and it is the most depressing song I have ever heard in my life.
It
captures isolation to a point that I don't like to listen to that song.
Okay. Well, you know, and especially during this pandemic, I mean, we think about it right now. What an apropos song.
Yep.
And it's something that we all feel right now.
Funny isolation. You should bring up Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Because there are two, Lennon pointed out two really notable songs that were like where he's like trying to be Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. This is the first one. Actually, this is the second of the two as they were released. But this is the first one on the show tonight. We've got both those songs tonight. This is the song called Norwegian Wood. This is one of the songs that Rubber Soul. Rubber Soul is, I was trying to be diplomatic with you the other day.
You know that doesn't work. Blunt force is always
best. What I told you the other day was that Rubber Soul was a third brilliant, a third terrible, and a third filler.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's half brilliant, not even half brilliant. It's like 48% brilliant and 52% terrible. There's this like dip in Rubber Soul that goes from I got to look this up because it it's a run that's just it's of like not good songs. It goes from Rubber Soul is Drive My Car, Norwegian Wood, You Won't See Me, Nowhere Man, Think for Yourself, The Word, Michelle, What Goes On, Girl, I'm Looking Through You, and then In My Life, Wait, and then and If I Needed Someone, which is a good song, and then possibly the worst of all the Beatles songs is Run for Your Life.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I will also say, If I Needed Someone is probably one of the most misogynist songs that I think they've ever released.
No, Run for Your Life is the
well,
most.
Well, that's also pretty bad.
That is the most misogynist
song ever.
Both
of them. Not really high marks in the pro-feminist annals.
No. I get behind If I Needed Someone. It's a.
Well, if I needed someone, I'd go with you. But otherwise, you know,
it showcases George Harrison's development as a songwriter. He's getting better. Anyway, but you go from Drive My Car. You don't like that song. I do. Norwegian Wood's a great song. You Won't See Me's okay. Nowhere Man's a great song. But then you get this run of Think for Yourself, The Word, Michelle, What Goes On, Girl, I'm Looking Through You. They're just not good songs.
The Word is not a good song.
The Word's a terrible song. Michelle is the most overrated Beatles song of them all.
I'm not wild about it, and you don't like it because it's got French in it.
No, it's just I don't care for the key. I don't care for the chord structure.
Look, I've already said Revolver is an inferior album to Revolver. And truly,
I'm not trying to convince you that Rubber Soul is a bad.
No,
I'm just saying.
I'm just
stating my opinion here. That's all.
Wow.
But Norwegian Wood is a phenomenal song.
It's a very good song. I will let you know, though. I always think it's interesting because you always take the pro American side, and I take more of the pro European.
Because you hate America.
I don't hate America.
You hate America.
I don't hate America.
You're the world's oldest teenager, and you hate America.
There's just too many Americans in it. That's my problem. The thing about it, I mean, it and that bird could sing. Or not and that bird could sing.
And
this bird has flown.
Okay.
You know, bird is not an American term, right? You know that.
It's a woman. It's a chippy. It's a girl.
A chippy?
Yeah, that's another British... Kiss my ass. It's another British term. Okay?
It is a British term. I'm just going to say
we're done
that
talking
a song
about
that you love,
this.
It's a British term. You know?
We're done talking about this. This is the first real pop song with sitar in it.
That's kind of fun.
Norwegian Wood on 95.1 KYMN.
She once had me. She showed me her room. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. I sat on the thank you. she's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love her is to need her everywhere. Knowing that love is to share. Each one believing that love never dies. Watching their eyes and hoping I'm all. I know I need never care, but to love her is to need her everywhere. Knowing that love is to share, each one believing that love never dies. Watching their eyes and hoping I'm always there.
From Revolver, that was Here, There, and Everywhere. Have you ever seen the Paul McCartney movie, Give My Regards to Broad Street?
Yeah, unfortunately I have.
Yeah, it's a goofy movie, and he was literally in 1984 trying to make another movie in the in the style of Hard Day's Night.
Long story short, it did not work.
No, the movie didn't work, but there's some great performances.
Oh, yeah.
In that movie. And one of them, he does this medley of Yesterday, Here, There, and Everywhere, and then the song Wanderlust from his Tug of War album.
It's
wonderful. It can't touch the original Yesterday, it can't touch the original Here, There, and Everywhere, but it's fun to listen to.
The soundtrack if you haven't heard it, really pretty good. Yeah. And you got Dave Gilmore on No More Lonely Nights,
and Dave Edmonds is actually playing a lot of guitar
on that album too.
Yeah, and he's in the movie. He's like Paul McCartney's guitar player in the movie too.
Ringo's in it.
Yeah, Ringo's in it. okay.
And
so that Here, There, and Everywhere? That was one of yours.
Yeah, I love that song. I mean, McCartney gets a lot of grief for being schlocky, you know, silly little love songs and Ebony and Ivory. And I mean, the list goes
silly
on.
Silly Love
and on.
Songs is a wonderful song.
And it's got a kick ass bass line.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it really does. And McCartney was an underrated bass player.
Silly Love Songs might be a tad on the disco side, but it's a great song.
I don't care.
Doesn't bother me, but I can see where people don't like it because of that.
Right. Yeah. I totally get that. And I guess the thing about Here, There, and Everywhere, I mean, that's as pure of a love song as you can get. I mean, you're basically saying, I don't care about anything else, no matter where he or she is, that's where I want to be. Wherever that is, that's paradise.
Yep.
That's the essential message. And so, of course, that song, as the sentimentalist in me, I'm going to be grooving all over that. And anybody who's ever been in love, I think, can understand that song.
In a little bit, we're going to hear the flip side of that, or like the other side of that song. It wasn't a single. It's not like the B-side, but like the flip side of that song from Revolver.
Okay.
In the meantime, though, we got to do this.
Time now for the weekly list Haiku Corner, brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got to cut this back. Like I get started on these things and I get on a roll and I just can't stop.
Well, you know, I mean.
Anyway,
you do a double album every single time. You know, at some point, it's going to be like, "Hey, man,
we're going to have to institute a rule of three, I think.
You know,
yeah. All right. Anyway,
okay,
but here we go.
Go with what we've got.
All right. It was Scrambled Eggs. Ever heard this one before? I'm really this good.
No, that's funny. I like that one.
All right. This one is something we're going to get to later. I don't know if anyone's right now. This is going to make no sense at all. Maybe I should save this one.
No, go with it.
Swing me around, Jeff. Put the mic in the middle. Let's see what happens.
Is that a Jeff Emmerich thing?
Yeah, and it's about the recording of Tomorrow Never Knows, which we'll get to later. Okay.
I'm sorry, that doesn't mean the nerd me.
All right, here we go. I can play a riff. I can play the sitar, too. You underrate me. All right, here, this is my favorite of the whole bunch.
Oh, here. Really? Okay.
Yes. Eleanor Rigby. She keeps her face in a jar, and she has no friends. Huh.
You know, this was a thing. Eileen was telling me this very graphic thing about Eleanor Rigby that she was imagining when she was a kid. She took everything literally. She thought that Eleanor Rigby literally pulled her face off.
Yeah.
And then she had a picture of, you know, Father McKenzie or whoever walking away with dust. And then the grave where Eleanor Rigby was coming is like her fingers coming out and coming back to life. So this is my daughter. She's envisioning as, you know, Eleanor Rigby ripping her face off in the undead. So maybe that's why Eleanor Rigby is her favorite song. Okay, I digress. Go on.
Beatlemania. No more live shows, Epi. No more matching suits.
Ah.
Dylan gave me this. It opens your mind up, man. Relax. Float downstream. All those years ago, if you were still here today, you are still missed, John.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Eminent.
We want to thank Laura and Derek Myers for being wonderful human beings and for opening up an amazing place like Eminent Brewing and for sponsoring the Weekly List, making the Weekly List possible every week. You know, there had been some optimism at some point that maybe we were going to not have to talk about COVID ever again.
Yeah.
Omicron, baby. Omicron, Omicron, Omicron.
You know, I like it because it sounds like a Marvel Cinematic Universe evil villain.
It does. It sounds like a villain. I am Omicron.
Beware the hammer. Yeah.
Wear a mask. Get vaccinated.
That's how you beat him.
Get vaccinated. Stop being an idiot. Moving on. John Manners, the great John Manners,
really?
Is playing tomorrow night at Eminent Brewing from
really?
6 to
Friday
8
night?
p.m. Yep. John Manners is, every time I talk about John Manners, I say this because it's one man's opinion, but I truly believe this. John Manners was walking down a street one day and he made a left turn. Mm-hmm. If he had turned right, he'd be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today.
Yeah.
That is how fickle fate is, and that is the kind of talent with John Manners that we're talking about.
That's
he's
great.
Just, he's amazing, and I love him. And he plays all by himself, and he's one of those guys. I could ask him to play for 3.5 hours, and he would play for 3.5 hours, never take a break, play only his own music, and still have 50 songs left over. He also makes his own guitars.
Really?
John's just the coolest guy ever.
So he's
ever.
A luthier as well.
Yes, he is.
Nice.
Yes, he is. Dragon Squirrel IPA, Gateway Cream Ale, Cannon River Pale Ale, Prairie Creek Porter, Barrel-Aged Long Haul Vanderwall Nordic Strong Ale, which is, Danny?
The universe's only known strong ale.
Nordic Strong
Nordic,
Ale.
Nordic yeah. Strong Ale.
The Quick and the Red IPA, Chili Gateway Cream Ale, Double Agent J IPA.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
La Tropical Sour. Bum, 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 bum. Zombie Palm Sour Ale, Holland Hall Belgian Blonde Ale. It's a beer that's very near and dear to both Danny and I because we spent most of our college career at St. Olaf College.
Right.
Actually, you were in the library most of the time, but I spent most of time at Holland Hall.
I spent some time in philosophy.
I spent some time in the library, so, you know. Okay. Rumination Brown Ale, and there's Seltzer now, too.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, me either. There's Saturday, the food truck is Deep Roots Concessions. And Sunday, is this new food truck Grilled Cheese Guru that
I was
still
gonna
never
ask you about that.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed
not.
That yet?
I'm hoping to I would be hoping to get over to Grilled Cheese Guru on Sunday, but Sunday is the day that I spend with my daughters at the Guthrie, and then we go out for dinner, and it's yeah.
Is this the
yeah, it is a Christmas Carol.
Nice. Good yeah. for you.
I think the 22nd year we've done this. Last year we didn't get to go to the Guthrie, so we all got together at my house. We watched a Muppet Christmas Carol and had fondue. Yeah.
A Muppet Christmas Carol and fondue. Little yep. bit different from the Guthrie.
Yep.
But, you know.
If my wife was listening to this show, which she most decidedly is not,
mm-hmm.
This is where she would turn the show off.
Why?
She hates this song.
Yellow Submarine?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. No disrespect at all. At all. Little bit wrong. Yellow Submarine, in my mind, this is a childhood favorite of mine. And the reason that I included Yellow Submarine is when I was a little kid, I used to love this song. I have an original 45 with the Apple Music label from 1969
wow,
of Yellow Submarine.
Really?
On this.
Really?
And
that's
for me,
cool, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I used to play this all of the time on my little Fisher Price,
yep,
you know.
Yep. I would like, there are certain songs out there. Like, we did Joni Mitchell.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, to me, Big Yellow Taxi is kind of a kid's song.
Sure.
Right? Yellow Submarine might be the greatest children's song.
It is. And there's a lot of sophistication musically in this. And I remember for me, I don't remember a time in my life where I did not actively listen to the radio. I mean, not at all. Not a single time. And I remember 1970 hearing on the radio that the Beatles broke up.
Yep.
I was very familiar with the Beatles. And for me, they were Yellow Submarine as their biggest. That was, in my mind, the biggest thing ever. And I remember talking to my mother, and I walked into the kitchen, and I can picture it. I was in Seattle, Washington. I'm holding the 45, and I'm sobbing. I'm sobbing. And I tell my mom that the Beatles had broken up, and I love this song. Does that mean that I have to give this record back? This is my favorite
that's
record.
That's so sweet.
And I asked the question, you know, because I didn't understand what that meant.
Right.
The Beatles had broken up.
Right.
And I remember my mom smiling, bending down on her knee and saying, you know, Danny, no, it means this record is yours. It will be yours forever. This will always be part of you. You don't have to give it up. This is yours. But it just means that the Beatles will never put out another song again. But this song is yours, and it's for you to enjoy forever. And so because of that, that's why I want to play Yellow Submarine.
That's great.
Now.
That's great.
It's 2021. It's over, what is that? 50 years
yeah.
now since
yeah,
the 50, Beatles broke up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had that conversation with my mother. And so I play Yellow Submarine tonight, not just for myself as a child, but I play this in honor of my mother.
All right.
For helping me to understand what all of this meant to a young kid who desperately loved music as a child. So that's Yellow Submarine.
I just love Paul McCartney screaming in the background with this song. From Revolver, 1966, this is Yellow Submarine, a 95.1 KYMN, the one.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed unto the sun till we found a sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine. Submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow Day breaks, your mind aches. You find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up, she makes up, she takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you, and in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. You want her, you need her, and yet you don't believe her when she says her love is dead. You think she needs you. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. You stay home, she goes out. She says that long ago she knew someone, but now he's gone, she doesn't need him. Your day breaks, your mind aches. There will be times when all the things she said will fill your head. You won't forget her, and in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years.
Keep coming back on these songs from Revolver. I think
I
we're playing like half the Revolver album.
I think we are.
That's fine with me, actually.
What? Okay, so that's the subliminal message between Revolver and Rubber Soul. I guess now I can fully admit that I enjoy Revolver a lot more.
Except that there's a song on Rubber Soul. Nothing on Revolver is as good as this one song on Rubber Soul. We're going to get to that later.
Oh, okay. I think I know the song you're talking about.
We were talking during the break, that song, if I'm in the right mood, that's a song for no one that can just gut me.
Yeah.
And that's a song that is,
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's heartbreaking.
It's tough. I love that French horn.
I know, the thing that I loved about the Beatles is the Beatles were not trained musicians. They were not. They kind of picked this stuff up on their own.
Yep.
And when they came into the studio, I mean, they were very fortunate to be overseen by George Martin, who had a long, illustrious career in all kinds of stuff with EMI. And so it's kind of like, hey, what's a French horn? Well, George, what does a French horn sound like? We've got the song For No One. Let's throw a French horn on it.
Yep.
What does that sound like? And boom, there you go.
Ringo. He was actually talking about a sitar, but Ringo said about that period, we were just excited to get as creative as possible and find out what he said. You could have brought an elephant into the studio and it would have worked as long as it was going to make a musical note.
Well, an elephant could, but it's maybe not the note that you really want.
It would be a very loud one. It'd be weird to record it.
It would be weird.
Anyway.
There's a whole genre of those kinds of recordings out there. Wrote it TikTok.
Next two songs are mine.
Okay.
We've never done this before on the weekly list, ever.
Really?
We've never done this. We're playing two songs from the same album in sequence.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Because.
We are.
Yeah, because I am unable to hear You've Got to Hide Your Love Away without also hearing I Need You right afterwards.
You know, when I was a kid and I'd listen to FM radio back at Virginia Beach, K94, whenever Zonar, my favorite DJ, would play like something like this, I knew that he was going outside, you know, the shack in the heart of the Great Dismal Swamp, and I knew that he was smoking a doob.
Uh-huh.
So is that what we have to do now? Because that's not my thing, dude.
There are no. Well, I know it's not. I know it's not. There are actually stories about back in the FM days, where
they put a whole side.
If you and it wasn't. They weren't smoking a joint during those times.
No.
You knew something else was happening in the
studio. And you always knew that it was not going as planned, because at the end of the record you'd hear this.
Yeah.
And it was like for like 40 seconds, you're like, oh man, it's the end of the side, and they're just not picking up the needle.
Anyway, this is the
sorry, there's an old time thing.
This is the other John Lennon trying to be Bob Dylan song. And I love this song. I think that another super sad song. I've heard some, I read something really interesting. Like, people have always tried to figure out, like, what exactly is the song about? And, you know, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. Does it mean, you know, John was married, but they didn't want anyone to know that he was married. So, like, he had to, like, pretend he wasn't married and not talk about Cynthia in public.
Yeah.
Or the interesting one to me is that he wrote this for Brian Epstein. Brian Epstein, who was their manager, was gay.
Yeah.
And in the 1960s,
it was
illegal in the UK to be gay. And, I mean, that's how horrible is that?
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Well, and both of these songs are from the Help album.
Yep, they are.
So, yeah, this is Rich's pick. And we'll go into Rich's second pick right afterwards. But this is You've Got to Hide Your Love Away here on KYMN Radio 95.1. The Ooksie.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can I even try? She say to me, love will find a way. Gather round all you clowns, let me hear you say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your I need you. Love you all the time and never leave you. Please come on back to me. I'm lonely as can be. I need you. Said you had a thing or two to tell me. How was I to know you would upset me? I didn't realize, as I looked in your eyes, you told me, oh yes, you told me, you don't want my loving anymore. That's when it hurt me. I'm feeling like this, I just can't go on anymore. Please remember how I feel about you. I could never really live without you. So come on back and see just what you mean to me. I need you. But when you told me you don't want my loving anymore, that's when it hurt me. I'm feeling like this, I just can't go on anymore. Please remember how I feel about you. I could never really live without you. So come on back and see just what you mean to me. I need you. I need you. I need you.
From 1965 and the Help album, that was George Harrison and the Beatles with I Need You. Another, that song, you know, what's funny about that song is I always loved that song, right?
Oh, it's a good song.
But I never, like, I would pay attention to like, the volume pedal and the way he was doing that, right? But I never, like, really, really took the whole song as a whole. Until many years ago, shortly after, actually, George Harrison died in 1999, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been the year 2000. I went to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and they had just played the concert for George,
right,
which was a year after,
right.
You know, at the Royal Albert Hall, and they had played at the concert. They played "I Need You,"
mm-hmm,
and they played it at the show too, and I'm listening to going, oh my God, is this a good song? And
it
I just,
is.
I, like, I've never been able to separate You've Got to Hide Your Love Away and I Need You, but like now I have as much appreciation for I Need You as I did for.
Yeah, you know, the thing with I Need You, what he's basically doing is he's using a volume pedal where he's hitting the chord and then fading the sound of the guitar in. This is not unlike what Eddie Van Halen did on the song Cathedral off of Diver Down, you know, where he's hitting the note and swelling it up. The problem that I've got with I Need You is it becomes almost like a special effect, and it detracts. In some ways, it detracts from the quality of the song.
I can see where you're going there, because like I said, for the longest time, that's all I ever focused on.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of the song is amazing.
It is a good song.
And he actually, I found out he wrote this song for the greatest muse in the history of rock and roll, Patty Boyd Harrison Clapton.
Yeah.
About whom not just I Need You has been written, but
Layla.
Also Something, Wonderful Tonight, and Layla, all written, and I Need You. And I'm sure there's more.
Oh, you know, if we went and did a deep dive, honest to God, we could probably come up with a show of The Weekly List presents all the songs presented or written about Patty Boyd.
Actually, I've already done the Muse.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I'm
I've
talking about just
show.
One Muse, not
well,
just...
I did a lot of Patty Boyd, Harrison Clapton on that show.
That's a fun story.
Just so, like, for the uninitiated, what happened was George Harrison...
Good luck, man.
In the late 60s, George Harrison and Eric Clapton got to be really good friends. And Clapton would go around to George's house quite a bit, and he met George's wife, Patty, and he fell in love with Patty.
Layla and other assorted love songs.
Which the entire Layla and assorted love songs is about the torture Eric Clapton is feeling because he's completely in love with his best friend's wife.
Yep. That's a problem.
And he finally they had an affair, and eventually she divorced George and married Eric Clapton.
But not before Clapton started on a big binge in heroin as a result.
She wouldn't marry him until after he got clean.
Right, exactly. Right. But that was a whole part of the thing.
The thing about this is that Clapton was George Harrison's best friend before Clapton stole his wife. After Eric Clapton stole George Harrison's wife, they were still best friends.
I know.
It's amazing. George Harrison was that amazing kind of person. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next song, this one, is was the B-side to Paperback Writer, and is the first pop song ever to use backward masking.
You know, and the thing that I thought was interesting is you were originally going to put Paperback Writer, and you ditched it for this song.
Because what I was hoping to do with this show was kind of showcase the creativity that they were showing at this point in time, and the things that they were doing. And Paperback Writer's probably the better song of the two, but it's split in hairs.
Yeah, it is.
And this one's got the backward stuff in there, which is kind of interesting. So,
you know, one of the things that I recall about this, and this is just a weird side note, is you remember MTV Unplugged?
I do.
And this was before it became the, okay, we're going to do a presentation of all this kind of... It was hosted by Jules Shear when it first came out. Yep. I remember one of the early episodes, Marty Wilson Piper, who is the lead guitarist for The Church, he and Jules Shear did an episode where they played an acoustic version of Rain.
Wow.
And it was flipping amazing.
The best, aside from this one, the best cover I've heard of Rain. Greg Allman, whose birthday is today, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, he passed away 4 years ago, but Greg Allman was born December 8th, 1947. Greg, I love you, and someday we're going to get to you on the weekly list, too.
And your brothers.
Well, I've actually done a show about his brother.
Oh, God.
Yeah, anyway, he only had one brother.
Well, I know, but, you know, the
rest of the band, the Allman Brothers band, but I've done a Dwayne Allman show, which our friend Otis liked very much, by the way. Greg Allman, for a while in the early to mid 80s, did not have a band because the Allmans had broken up, and he did not have a record contract. So he actually had to make a couple of demos and like audition for. So I don't know where he found the choir, right? But I mean, he lived in Macon, Georgia, so you can't throw a rock without hitting a gospel choir, right? Gets this gospel choir together. And sits down at a piano and plays Rain. And it's
really?
It is this soulful gospel thing, Southern gospel. It's beautiful. I'll play it for you someday.
Yeah.
We'll play it on this show one day.
You know, I'm telling you, why didn't he just hand them a copy of Live at the Fillmore and just go, dude?
Well, because they all said, well, yeah, but your brother's dead. I know.
I know.
Craig Allman, man, one of the greatest singers of all time. But we're not talking about Greg Allman. We're talking about the Beatles, and this is from 1966, May of 1966. This is Rain. from 1966. That was the last thing people heard from the Beatles until Strawberry Fields Forever in 1967.
You know, I would imagine the time between those two moments would have been, what?
Right. I love that song. One chord in that song. It's a C.
I know.
That's it. And I was talking about John, like, swing me around, Jeff, and put the mic in the middle. John wanted to be a human Leslie Cabinet.
Right.
With his vocals. So, like, they actually, like, worked in the studio. Idea. In the studio, they worked up a swing where John would spin around the microphone while he was singing. It didn't work. They didn't use that take, but they tried.
Now, for those who are not aware, a Leslie Cabinet, what that is this is an amplifier where the speaker spins around.
Right, inside
the speaker, not the person who's making the sound. Right. The speaker spins.
By the way, that was a song called Tomorrow Never Knows. It's the last song on Revolver.
You know, George did well on the sitar very quickly. There's some quick progression there from early to there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of The Weekly List. If you like the show, there's a million different ways you can listen to us. Check us out 7 p.m. We're being preempted tonight because it's Winter Walk in Northfield. And from 5 to 9 o'clock tonight, KYMN was playing Christmas music because it's Winter Walk. You don't know what Winter Walk is. They shut down Division Street. Is the main street here.
Is that why I was concerned about where I parked today?
A little bit.
Okay.
Division Street is the main street in Northfield, and they shut like 6-7 blocks of Division. They shut it down, and people just go hang out, and it's a big holiday celebration. And
awesome.
It's tons of fun, and that was tonight, and now we're playing after
that. We're playing late.
Yeah, so we're
on at
9
o'clock
tonight.
Well, it's good the way that we started the show tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
It worked out, didn't it?
Hey, let's pat ourselves on the back again.
Okay. We are a very self-congratulating, congratulatory show. There's no question about that. You can check us out on KYMN. You can stream us from kymnradio.net on our program page. You can find us on Facebook, where I post every new show every Friday morning. You can find us on Twitter, where I post every new show every Friday morning. We try to put a link up on the Instagram.
I did not do so well this week, because how can I reference the Beatles without being overly obvious?
Well, you put a picture of Bob Dylan up and stared the crap out of my daughter.
Well, I know. I didn't mean to do that. I thought about putting up a Hofner bass, and that would be too obvious. Yeah, meh.
Like, I don't know. What do you do? You put up a picture of, like, Liverpool City Hall, maybe? Or
well, that's going to be obvious,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what
come
you...
Come on.
How do you...
You see where I went with
how
this?
How do you give a hint? Well, a picture of a penny, or you put a picture of a
yeah, I didn't do that.
No,
penny. I'll put the penny for the next period.
An octopus, or
period too.
Very much wrong period. Both of those songs. Anyway,
you see where I'm going? You see, Rich, I've had a tough week.
Yeah, you truly have. You truly have. And so, if anyone has any recommendations on how Danny can raise the Instagram game, why don't you? You can direct message us through Facebook at the Weekly List, or you can email me at rich@kymnradio.net too.
I will say this though: we did have some people that started to follow us.
How many?
Let's see.
Did we get four?
We were at 36 last week. Yep. Last time I checked, it was 39. But I think one of the people liked us, started following us, and then they followed us. So I said that I was going to read people's names, and I didn't come up with the list.
That's all right. That's okay.
So you know who you are. We love you anyhow. Please don't unfollow us.
We mentioned at the beginning of the show that... this is the 41st anniversary of John Lennon's passing.
Mm-hmm.
This song, to me, is he wrote this well before he passed away. I think he wrote this 15 years before he died.
Well before that. And this is from Rubber Soul.
Yes, it is.
And this is one of my picks.
This is the song on Rubber Soul. There's nothing on Revolver as good as In My Life.
No.
This is an amazing song. He could not have possibly known he was going to die 15 years later. But To me, this is the song I choose to listen to. To like, this is John Lennon's what? Goodbye. Well, I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I don't even think about it as goodbye. I guess the thing about this song, for me, I don't want to go into the morbid of, oh well, you know, 15 years he predicted his death or anything.
No, I'm not saying
this,
that.
This is a incredibly mature song, and he was very young when he wrote it. He was probably about 24, 25 when he wrote it, which is extraordinary.
Yeah.
This is the type of song that, okay, the resonance on me is greater at the age of 54 than it ever was 10, 20, even 5 years ago. Because this is a song to me that I sit there and go, okay, I'm looking back at what is the highs and lows of my life. And you have to have put some mileage on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at this song and go, point to some very specific people and go, okay, this song is about you. And mm-hmm. that's what this song is about for me.
Yeah.
That it's about very specific people that are significant.
Yeah.
And so that's
for,
it.
For
that's
me, this is also a really, really good New Year's Eve song.
It is.
Because it's incredibly sentimental, and I always get super sentimental on New Year's Eve.
No, you don't. Really?
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Wow. All right, we're going to get out of here. You got anything?
No, I think that we're on hiatus next week because the studio is being remodeled.
It's just better for everyone if we don't try to do. So the next time we come back, we're going to do the annual Weekly List Christmas show.
Wow, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I got a lot of stuff to listen to then.
Yeah, you do. And actually, then you get another week off because then we're going to do the Rules for Human show with Laura Myers.
Okay.
And then the week after that, first show of 2022, the 2021 Daniel G. Moyer Music Awards.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got a lot of work to do is the thing that you're telling me. I've actually got.
You're always saying you feel bad because I do so much more work on this show than you do. No, I just front loaded everything. And
well, you know,
you get to catch up. The music awards now.
I've actually got half done.
Well, that's
to be quite
good.
Honest with you. That's going to be pretty easy.
All
well,
right.
Not easy, but you know, and you're going to hate everything, Rich.
No, I'm not. I like that one Dua Lipa song that you've played me.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a good song.
Well, good. I'm probably not.
All right. So we're going to get out of here.
All right.
Danny. Love you, brother.
Thanks as well. And so I guess we'll see everybody for the Christmas show in a couple weeks.
Yep. Talk to you guys again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Bye.
Peace.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed. But people and things.
when the sun shines, they slip into the shade. Drink their lemonade, when the sun shines, when the sun.